Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Gentleman's Talk. Hope we're all right. Hope we're all okay. I've had a very busy day. It's been mind-boggling, if I'm not going to lie. It's been a little bit consuming for me, but ultimately, you know, we got through it, and that's the main thing. So the best thing to do is to try and get through these days that can sometimes challenge us. Mine was certainly challenging, but here I am. Here I am talking to you, putting the time aside to re-engage with everybody and keep in touch. But yeah, positivity all the way around. That's a thing we need to nurture here, isn't it? So anyway, getting in, I've got this topic that's been sort of whirling around in the back of my head whilst I was busy today. I kept sort of kind of thinking about the podcast. What can I inject into the listeners and to sort of spur them on a little bit. Something that I like to do anyway. I like to think about things, really dive into these challenging times. And here I am back on, you know, progressing through. Loads of great feedback from my podcast yesterday, which was absolutely fantastic. Went live with a couple of friends and you know, met new people, which is really interesting. I absolutely love hearing different people's stories. And it was also quite interesting to the whole conversation and talking with my friends has spurred me on to do a little spin-off from this gentleman's talk that I've created, something that's going to be coming in the near future. So not sure whether to do it as a separate podcast or to try and coincide with some, because I don't think it's going to be a regular thing. So I don't know whether to do it as a spin-off or actually do it as a spin-off incorporated with my podcast. But it's to try and inject a little bit of dynamic humour into life. And I think that although I absolutely strive and really, really enjoy the mental health aspect, I love it because I'm learning from it. I just want to inject a little bit of that humour, the stuff that keeps me going. I'm absolutely focused and driven on you know, the whole sort of banter thing. I've lived with it all my life. I absolutely love it. It's what spurs me on. I recently re-engaged with a friend of mine, Billy. I say re-engaged because he'll laugh at this bit, but he chinned me off for 3 weeks. He used some excuse that he'd just moved countries and a new job and had to set up his new house. Some bullshit excuse. I really didn't sort of kind of, it didn't sit right with me. I said to him, you're a piece of shit, mate. So, you know, sort yourself out. It's crazy how I rely on certain people for certain dynamic aspects of banter. And he brings that kind of extra, that other little dynamic that I, you know, that, not that I don't get, but all of my friends offer me different aspects in life and I love picking bits away from them so that, you know, number one, I can challenge myself. Number two, it keeps me diverse. And number three, ultimately, it just gives me a different dynamic on life because, you know, we should never really be straight focused on one dynamic. We should try and get different sort of aspects into life. And for me, absolutely fantastic way of doing it is, you know, really sort of one thing I've nurtured is that, you know, that whole presence with different people that offer different things. And ultimately, we've all got the same foundation because that's why we've all clicked, or I've certainly clicked with them as an individual. I know for a fact that we would all get on as a group. Maybe certain people might be a bit overpowering in their own little instances. I don't know. It's always interesting, isn't it, when you've got a group of friends with such different dynamics, but a very basic, raw foundation that's quite similar. But you know for a fact if you chucked yourself all in a room and you know, with drink and fun, there would be an element of sort of tension, I think. Certainly looking at all, and I'm thinking now as I talk to you, I'm visualizing this event happening in my head. And yeah, I think it would be okay, we would get through, but I think that, yeah, there might be some tension. But that's interesting. That's just my own thought. That's a personal thought. That's not something I've ever experimented in. And it would be interesting because I will be having a barbecue at some point this summer where we'll all be in the same place. So it'll be interesting to understand there what how we all fit in with each other. And we're all fun and we're all friendly. It's just I've drank with all of them, so I know what all of them get like when they drink. And you know, would they clash? Quite possibly. When there's drink involved, it's always a little bit of a an uncertain future when drink's involved, which is why they call, you know, the drink the devil's drink. You know, they call alcohol the devil's drink, don't they? Because, you know, ultimately it can go either way. You know, you can have start off having a good night and it can end so badly, and vice versa. You can have a crap start and end up absolutely fantastic. I've had a mixed abode of a mixed amount of different sort of outcomes of alcohol, but because I've sort of kind of drank with all of them independently and some of us together and socially, I know that it's you know, it'll be an interesting one for me. But anyway, digress there, didn't I? Digress. Just gonna take a quick sip of my drink whilst I churn into today's topic. So, interesting one here today. And I think it's so, it's also relevant. So I don't know why I keep saying this. It's all relevant. The whole journey, this everything I unpick, everything I try and offer advice with is all relevant to moving forward. You know, we've all got that foundation. We all look at how we start. You know, we look at how we start things. And, you know, we grow. And as we grow, we develop. But we all need that starting building block. And I've spoke about that many, many times. But one thing I wanted to challenge was here was, and this is something that I've experienced and something I'm still learning, but if I can offer tips, it might give you that building block to start progressing forward with making yourself feel better, making yourself a better person in terms of not for other people, but for yourself, and start, you know, living your best life. I think that is one of the biggest phrases that I've started using a lot lately since I learned it. And I say learnt it like I went to school to learn it. No, since I saw it and I was like, are you living your best life? And it's a question I ask myself whenever I get into a pickle or I get into a situation. I always say to myself, or I feel a bit low, I say, James, are you living your best life right now? And that sort of spurs me onto a little bit of you know, just a little bit of thought. It gets me into the thought process then. And I go, actually, yes, I am. Not fully, but I have a beautiful family. I have a beautiful home. And, you know, I've got a good job and I've got a good support network of friends and family around me. So, and it was interesting because whenever I asked that question, I had this conversation. So my brother, he didn't speak to me this morning on the voice app, which is fine. This is not where this is going. But he rung me earlier on, and as I was actually voice texting Kieran at the time because I missed his phone call, my friend, and I was like, shit, so sorry, man, I missed your call, because I'm conscious to try and, you know, show support and also you know, return the text. I'm really starting to engage more with everybody and not ignore messages or not forget to send messages. I'm not bad at doing it, but I'm not the best I could be. So I am certainly learning how to develop that. And one of the key points was when my brother sends me text messages, and I know he's not the best at doing it, but I purposely do it because I think that I would like that. I would like people to return the message to me quite quickly. Unless something's going on, obviously, you know, but I do. I like that interaction. I like to get that support going. Anyway, I was messaging my friend, Kieran, and I was just saying to him, sorry about missing his call. And as I did it, I put the phone forward because I felt my phone vibrating. And it was my brother. And I was like, well, this is an interesting one. I'm going to greet him with something that I've just brewed up in my pants. And I reached down behind my back at derriere and let out a bit of a ripper. And as I pulled my phone up, I actually knocked the hang up button. So it looked like I'd farted when he answered the phone. Because I answered the phone, I farted, and I knocked the off button. And I didn't realize that. That was a pure mistake, but I obviously ran with it. And my brother, and I rang him back and I said, I thought he'd hung up on me. I said, did you hang up on me? He was like, no, mate, but I'm not even fucking mad, mate. And I was, what do you mean? He was like, well, you farted on the phone and then hung up on me. I'm not even fucking mad. I was putting the bins out and you literally just fucking mugged me off. And I was in hysterics. I was literally in hysterics. And anyway, we had a good hour conversation, and it's really refreshing to hear the happy tones of my brother's voice. I know he struggles with his own things. It's one of those things. He's a similar person to me in the sense that, well, I mean, we are fucking literally like we could be identical twins apart from being 2 years apart, obviously. So unless my mum had a fucking horrendous labour, it's nigh on impossible. But however, if you see a photo of me and my brother, we are fucking spitting images of each other and similar sort of personalities. I think my brother Eddie's a little bit more. A little bit more gung-ho than me in the sense he doesn't really have that filter. I don't have a filter, but he doesn't have any filter at all. At least I've got an element of a filter. But to me, that is the best. I absolutely love him the way he is. I would never, ever, ever, hand on heart, never change him. And for me, we had this really long conversation. And like I said, he's one of these people that he I was undiagnosed for years, and my brother was another. He's an '80s baby, and he was undiagnosed with dyslexia and struggled through a military career and didn't really kind of worry about these things. And I, I hope he's fine with me saying this because it's not in a negative sense, but it's just highlighting how, he's faced all these challenges all his life. And he's progressed to a very high level in his organization, which I'm absolutely fucking proud of. Really am proud of him to have a military career, come out with uncertainty and work his way up into this organization to the point where he's, one of these head points of contact. Absolutely super proud of him. And that's why I think he's absolutely worth a mention because he's done so fucking well. And I'm re-engaging with him again. Like I said to you, we do go through these little spurts, these little channels. He tends to be a little bit more, a little bit more like my father's side, in the sense that kind of buries his head in the sand a little bit. If I dare, I say it with a smile on my face. My dad does that quite a bit. Doesn't really like to talk about his problems and feelings, probably because he can't articulate them fully, in a nice way. But whereas I'm a little bit like my mum's side, where I'm quite headstrong and kind of like I fucking outwardly say my feelings and expressions. I'm a little bit more open and honest about these things. And I think that that's been a challenge for me and my brother through the years. But as we get older, we slow down, we get wiser, we care less about the fucking stupid things in life. And it's actually refreshing to get to an age where I'm starting to care less about what people fucking think of me. I know you should do that at a younger age, but let's be fucking honest, you never do. You always worry about what someone thinks about you. And I am certainly getting to the age now where I don't give a fuck. I give a fuck about myself, as in I like the way I like to look good, I like to feel good. But, I'm not going to push myself to the boundaries where, like I used to do, where I used to fucking go to the gym 6, 7 days a week. I used to absolutely fucking beast myself with weights because I wanted to look fucking muscly and big. And I haven't trained properly for about 2 years, and I'm at my natural size. This is the way I should be. So I'm starting to come at peace with that, and it's really refreshing. And it's nice to see my brother coming at peace with himself, relaxing a little bit more. He's worked fucking tirelessly, as we all do to, when we get to this age, and he's starting to see his little turn. And we had a really interesting hour conversation earlier, and it was just basically ripping the piss. And then it resulted ultimately in me and him both ripping the piss out of our parents on fucking Facebook. So it was interesting, but it's nice to get that banter back. And that's what I said about, how I rely on different people for different banter. I've got a very, very historic, obviously, historic sort of, I don't even know the word. I'm probably trying to put too much of a fucking spin on this, really. I've got a big history with my brother. That's the way of saying it. Stop trying to be so fucking so articulate, you dick. In the sense that, I grew up my brother very closely. We were in the same room. We were in bunk beds, and the only time we sort of separated sharing rooms was when we both moved out. So, all of my teenage years and everything was growing up with my brother. So we've got a really big sort of foundation, but then we just kind of both joined the military. different organizations. And we went our separate ways. And then we got married and we had children. And it's really refreshing to come to a point in our life, and we were talking about it tonight. And we were saying, like, you know, in 6 to 7 years time, when our youngest have grown to an age where we'd like to fucking understand there's no more dependency. I mean, my youngest in that time will be 18. So she's not going to be reliant on me. She's going to be fucking working. So for me personally, that's a really ambitious time to be looking forward to. I'll be 45. My brother will be, 43. So we were talking about getting a camper van, and it was interesting how we were talking about road trips and all this sort of stuff. And it was really nice to hear that. We was like, no, we'll just chuck the fishing rods in the back of the fucking car and, in the back of the Winnebago, and we'll just fucking travel to Scotland. We'll have a week in Scotland just chewing the fat and having a good fucking time. And it was nice. It was refreshing. I actually excited me. It gave me a focus. And I talk about this all the time in mental health, that you need an ambition, you need a goal. If you haven't got a goal, you're just sitting and waiting for time to pass. And it was nice. It was like I said, it was really refreshing for me to feel that bond come back, and also to know that I would be able to do that. And that's why I've nurtured such a close dynamic with these friends of mine. And you know, I class my brother obviously as a friend, but he's my brother ultimately, you know. So, but he was my first friend, really. Do you know what I mean? So it's really nice to get that back. And I know that when I look at my little support network of five people, those five people to me are future proof, and that's really nice to hear. I know for a fact that you get to an age where you stop looking for the little fucking minions in your life, and you stop looking for the ones that are just dipping in and out of your life. Trust me, my friend list does extend past five, and you know, those ones that extend, they still mean a lot to me, and I still would go and spend time with them and have a fucking great time with them, but it's not as regular, it's not as close as what I am and what I've nurtured with those five friends that I've got at the moment. And I know that I've nurtured it enough for me to want to look after that. I mean, I actually made a gift for my friend Nelly tonight, laser etched and designed this little, and made this little wooden fucking tray. Anyway, if I try to discuss it and break it down, it'll play the whole thing down. It's a nice gift. I think it is anyway, but then I'm biased, I spent time on it. But that's what I said. I always said I make gifts for the people that I love and the people that I care for, because then they'll have a little piece of me in their home, and that's really important to me. I really don't know why, but I just like the fact that if they've got something from me, I mean, fucking hell, you know, my mate Kieran, he's fucking got a world. I've literally probably kitted out half his fucking living room because I just like, yeah, have this, mate, have this, get this in there, you know. And I'm always looking for things to fucking change him. I mean, like I say, he hasn't got back to me about, he thinks he must forget that I've got a really good memory, but I bought him Bad Boys, the original script. A copy, obviously, because you can't get the original script. But I bought him Bad Boys, the original script, and I really wanted him to frame it or put it into something safe. So I hope he hasn't just discarded it in a fucking drawer. Kieran, I'm staring at the fucking screen now. But it's interesting how that's what makes me tick, how I look to make gifts for people so that they constantly have a reminder of me, a nice reminder that I've done something special for them. And it's really important to grow that. And that's what I said about yesterday, how I was talking about the difference between pleasure and happiness. And there's such a huge difference between pleasure and happiness, in the sense that, you know, pleasure is short-lived. It's, you know, sex, drugs and rock and roll is pleasure. You know, buying a gift for yourself is pleasure. But true happiness is buying, making, designing, or, you know, giving someone a gift from you that means the world. That is the most important thing. I've got little gifts around my little studio here that are, you know, from my daughters, and they're random little gifts. And, you know, I've got a gift I'm looking at right now. It's about 50p. It was in with a bag of jelly fucking sweets, but excuse me. But it means a lot to me. I've also just realized I've got a full bottle of Kraken in my house. I haven't drunk rum for a while. Well, dearie me, it's because the gin's taken over. Anyway, not to gin tonight. I am on the water tonight because it's healthy week. Anyway, and do you know what that brings me on to, nicely on to today's topic and something I want to talk about. I'm not going to dwell too long tonight because it is getting late. It's getting late for me. It's 9:45. Shit me. But I want to talk about ways, and this is an interesting thing. Whenever you're in a mental health struggle, I always find, and I still do, find ways to make life exciting again, because you kind of get into that infinite loop of depression, that infinite loop of sadness, and it's a horrible place to be. And then often you sit there going, how the fuck can I make my life happy again? And there is ways you can do it. I've just given you a fine example of the ways that I make myself happy. It takes me a while to get the motivation to do that, and it takes me a while to... I'm not one of these ones I rush into a gift. I analyze the gift, and I find, even if I've made a gift previously, which I've done to, say, for instance, my brother, I'd made a gift that I'd done recently, like a long time ago, and I kept sitting on it thinking, would he appreciate it, would he appreciate it, would he appreciate it, and in a good sense, and I kept over and over and over and over again, and of course he would. Absolutely would appreciate it, but I wanted it to be worthwhile in showing what I think of him. So, and I've done the same to Kieran, and I've done the same to everybody. All of my friends have all got something little from me. Maybe it's little, maybe it's big, it doesn't matter, but they've all got something from me to as a constant reminder that I've been a point in their life. And I think that's really important for me, because that's a way to make a memory without actually making a memory. So if you ever lose touch of somebody, you like to think there's a little piece of you with them at all times. And I think that when you get to the point where you've got, you know, such good friends, it's important to nurture that. It's important to look after that. And it sort of brings me on to that excitement thing. So, you know, it seems like if I said to you, you know, how do we get excited about life again? It seems like, you know, it would be an easy question to answer, but in reality, it's not. It's a challenge, isn't it? If you ever ask that question, how do I get you will automatically come up with a roadblocker. There'll be a blocker that will smack you in the face, and if you're in this infinite loop of depression and sadness, fuck, it'll be hard to get out of there. It's like trying to dig out a quicksand hole. You know, you're never going to get there. You're going to constantly keep sinking and sinking. It might be slow, and we're talking millimeters. You know, but you are going to be sinking, and you're going to constantly be striving that. And before you really, one of the things you've got to do before you can really sort of tackle getting excited again, you really need to understand where your energy is being drained. You know, you need to look at where your energy is being drained. If it's work, if it's love life, is it relationship, is it friendships, is it financial worries? You know, everything is not in the alignment that drains our energy. It sort of makes us irritable, wears us down a bit, doesn't it? But it's interesting. You need to look at what is making you sad and see if that might be an easy fix. If it's not an easy fix, then to move on to other parameters, and I'll dive into them. And I know it's hard because, you know, when you get excited about life and all, you know, how to approach it, that gives you like that release of serotonin, that kind of those endorphins are released, and it gives you motivation, it gives you spark. So when you lose that and you can't get it, it just, like I said, it just feels like that endless loop of depression. I've got a couple of things I've written down, and I've written them down, just little headlines, and I'll try and spill onto them. But I wrote down these headings, and I'm hoping that they can kind of spur your thought process a little bit. And the first one I put down was claim your joy. You know, when life sort of kind of seems a little bit boring, and, you know, you realize, you know, it's because of you, and it's not because of a task or a job or a lack of social life. It's actually because of you. And you think to yourself, I'm the boring factor because I can do X, Y, and Z. I can do these things. We have to have the ability then to create the joy and excitement in everything we do. You know, the basis of where that starts is with your thoughts around your current situation. It's not so much about trying to fix the situation or even ourselves. It's about learning new things, finding the good things in the things that we're doing, and focusing our energies on activities that have a personal meaning. You can go to work, for instance, and you can find it boring, but you need to find a way of making work exciting again. Now, that may be you know, learning's another aspect of your job. Instead of sitting in this job that you sat there for fucking donkey's years and you know it like the back of your hand, you need to challenge yourself. Because sometimes a lot of people are bored in work because they're sat there and they're not challenging themselves. And work can be boring, but you can ultimately, like for me, for instance, I don't just do one role. I'm not just a health and safety advisor. I deal with compliance and I also deal with diversity and inclusion, which is a fucking massive window. I mean, I've got a brief on Friday that I'm sitting at. I'm actually hosting a seminar on LGBTQ+, or I think there's an AI in there, but this was arranged before that acronym had changed. But I'm actually doing a speech on that because I've just actually recently set a webinar where I learnt a lot about it. And I'm just talking about my experiences. Have I had any experiences within my life, which I absolutely have, with my own daughter, with my friends, families. So I've had quite a bit of, information in that. So that's given me a dynamic. That's given me something to think about, ready for Friday. It's given me another dynamic in my work. It's giving me another interest in life. So it's important to try and go, okay, my job may be mundane, but there must be a way that I can do something. And I know if you want to sit there and be fucking lazy and go, I don't get paid enough for this, well, then you're going to be in that infinite loop. You've already put your own negative barrier up. If you're willing to want to fucking challenge yourself, because if you don't challenge yourself, you don't open new doors. That's the be-all and end-all of it. You can sit in your one job and learn your one job till it's second nature and then get fucking bored and sit there for 20 years, maybe get a pension at the end of it. You can sit and do that, or you can look for other ways. I mean, I'm on a team building day tomorrow. Absolutely no relevance to me, but I said, can I join in? Because I want to go and meet new people. So I'm going traveling down to this other unit and this other organization. I'm going to attend a team building day with them. I don't know anyone that's there. I'm just going to go along. I'm going to pitch up. This is me, and have a bit of a fun day. Food and drinks prepared. And I don't mean alcohol, so calm your beans. But food and drinks supplied. So for me, it's a day out. It's with another organization that it works in correlation with my organization. So I'm allowed to attend it. And then, like you say, you know, I've then got Wednesday and Thursday wrapped up with my compliance jobs. And then Friday, I'm hosting a seminar on LGBTQ+. Or AI+, I think it is now. So really interesting. I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly trying to develop myself because I think it's interesting to learn about the world. But also what it does is it gives me something to chuck into my brain, keep me focused, keep me going, keep me up there. So you need to do that. You need to look for what is making you, you know, you might go out and go, do you know what? I'm not having a good time going out. Well, then don't go out. Or go out, but try a different venue. Try to find the positives. Try to find the excitement or joy in the things that you find mundane and boring. The things that are making you down. Try and find that. Or try and make a change. If it's your job, learn CPD, Continuous Professional Development. Learn it. Get yourself some building blocks for education and then move to a different sector or change your different sector. They're saying now, there's an interesting read the other day that loyalty in organizations have almost disappeared. And I think that's for the better, actually, because I find that organizations tend to take advantage of their employees. They tend to say, oh, fucking, you know, Fred's been here for fucking 30 years. Yeah, okay. And we're going to give him a fucking, I think, you know, we're going to give him £100 Amazon vouchers because he's been here 30 years. All right. So you look at it from the other perspective. Fred's been here for 30 fucking years on the same fucking wages, doing more and more each year, because each year we've asked them to do more because we develop as a nation and we expect more. So we're asking him to do more and we've just paid him the same. He hasn't moaned about it because he doesn't know. Whereas what you tend to find now is every 1 to 2 years, normally around about the average of 2 years, people will move jobs and they'll go, well, I'm going to go there because he's offering me more money. All right. Well, we want to keep you. Well, if you want to keep me, you match his money or make it better. So I stay and keep me happy. If not, I'm going to go there, take that money, and I'll do the same in 2 years' time. And it's interesting now that we've developed that and organizations took advantage of employees. They have done through the fucking pandemic, haven't they? You know, they sacked everybody. Look at the fucking airlines at the moment. They sacked everybody thinking they were going to save money rather than retaining them and, you know, keeping them employed and get them doing other things. They just fucking sacked them all. And now they're in a shit situation. They've got no staff because everyone needs to get security checked before working in a, you know, our fucking port, if you like. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, did you not foresee the inevitable that once we can start and COVID almost, as the media says, disappears? Did you not think that we were all going to start wanting to travel because we've literally been penned into our own little estates for the last fucking 2 years? So it was interesting how organisations have abused employees for years and years and years, not paid them the proper rates, not paid them bonuses, taken money away, if anything. And now it seems the power's back into the employee's hand, the person that wants to learn, the person that wants to develop, the person that wants to progress, now has a world of ambition, a world of opportunity, a world of choices, and goes, no, fuck you, mate. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to do something else. Especially with this working from home malarkey, you can literally get a job in Scotland and work down south and live down south. I mean, you couldn't because you probably wouldn't get paid enough, but vice versa. Live in Scotland where it's cheap, but work in London and do your work from there. So it's opened up a massive world, this technology. We're actually taking advantage of it. And I think the tide has turned a little bit towards the employee rather than the employer, which is a very interesting situation. I'm certainly very optimistic about the future in terms of, if you're willing to show ambition and learn, you're going to be willing to progress and move around and use your skills, gain more knowledge from different organizations and become a really premium asset. Like I said, I've jumped up two promotions in the last 2 years because I've been tenacious and I've wanted to learn and progress. Anyway, digress again, didn't I? Digress again. Another one I put down is free your mind, because you have to free your mind. We need to take time to look after our emotions, well-being, by putting a time scale aside. That's what I put down. What I mean by that is, you know, reflection time. Sort of yoga, Pilates, meditation, body mapping. All these things are really, really interesting things that can free your mind. I certainly know that when I do my podcast and I sit down and I do my half hour reflection, and last night I put on soothing orchestra sounds, and it gave me the ability to really zone out last night before I went to sleep. And I had a fucking fantastic sleep because I managed to just zone out. It's almost like a very pleasant white noise. And I find that I'm really, really advancing more and more with this sort of reflection time. And I want to grow into Pilates once I've sorted my fucking pain in the ass back out and get it tweaked enough so I can get into Pilates. I want to do Pilates because I think it's really, really interesting, really, really good for you. And it's a way of like reducing anxiety and stress. And let's face it, we always feel better, you know, when we look after things differently. And looking after our body and mind can only start at home. It can only start with you. These things have to start with you. They don't start with anyone else. Yes, you can go along and say, do you fancy coming to Pilates, rah, 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 whatever, and bring along somebody. But ultimately, it has to start with you. You have to make the decision. Everything in mental health has to start with you. Make little positive changes. That's what I put there. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, when we make a small change to our sort of daily routine, and bearing in mind, I keep talking about doing it something consistently for 3 months to make it a routine, a proper routine. It sort of brings back that excitement. It's sort of like, you know, you could take on like a new exercise class or even like pick up a book. I mean, not for me. I fucking hate reading, but you might find interest in reading. My wife absolutely fucking loves reading. She is an absolute bookworm. Never see her out of a book on a Kindle. It's absolutely amazing. And it's interesting because she always asks me certain little questions to do with books and America and some of the books she's reading, trying to sort of decipher what's being said and what's going on. And another thing I did was when I was in the, you know, my real shit place of depression, I used to draw and I used to use coloring books. I used to use coloring books on my iPad, which was absolutely fantastic because it used to just draw you away. It almost pulls you back to that childlike state when, you know, when you look, I mean, especially with me, you know, my wife's a childminder, so I sort of, there's loads of little kids running around the house and I often see them colouring and I'm very fascinated by the way that they're so enthusiastic by colouring in and concentrating so hard to keep it inside the lines. I mean, obviously the younger they are, they don't give a fuck, but you know, that's probably art nowadays. But you know, everything's art according to some artists. But it's really interesting to watch them progress and try and keep it in the lines. And they're so focused on something so simple to us as an adult that I found it really interesting. to go back to it. And I've still got the colouring books on my iPad. And I still, every now and then, I'll just pull an iPad up and I'll pull a drawing up and I'll just sit there and colour it in. It's really, really, it's just an enjoyable experience. And it sort of takes you back to that childlike state. You don't have to sit there and worry about, you know, bloody Excel, Word, fucking Outlook, you know, my diary, is it in order? Fuck, is my mobile phone checked up? I mean, the amount of checks I've had to do for tomorrow is unbelievable. You know, my laptop's charged. Have I got my charging cable? Have I got my headset? Have I got my mobile phone? Is it fucking charged? Have I booked my train ticket? All these fucking things have absolutely blitzed me this afternoon, as well as booking four different hotels for four different occasions. And it's interesting how reverting back to a childlike phase of just doing a bit of colouring is so simple. And if you mix that with good music, a light tone in the background, you do some drawing, you actually go into, you'll find the colouring. This is what I certainly did anyway. I used to find the colouring really sort of therapeutic because I didn't need to concentrate on it because I'm a fully grown fucking adult and I knew how to colour. But what I did do is I focused on reflecting on myself and thinking about good memories. And it brought back a lot of sort of kind of just a good mood lifter. It was just a good mood lifter. One of the biggest things I've thought here as my little title here, reframe negative thinking. reframe negative thinking. And let's face it, and I spoke about this again in a podcast a couple of days ago, you know, negative thinking is sort of kind of, it's common. We all do it. But it all depends on how you handle it, which will depend on, you know, how it impacts our life, whether it will drain us, and whether it will remove the excitement from that experience. Or do we use it to build on and learn from, which is certainly what I'm trying to nurture, is negative thoughts. They have to be there because we're never going to stop them. It's a natural process for a human to have some sort of aspect of negative thoughts. What we can do is train our brain to acknowledge a negative thought and put a positive spin on it. Don't let that negativity. In fact, I was having I was listening to a conversation. My wife's starting a new business and she's having a bit of troubles, a bit of stress with Ofsted, which is fine. They're a government fucking organization. You can't ring. You have to email. And you know, when your livelihood is in the hands of an organisation, which I think are frankly fucking hard work anyway, she wants to get going for September. So she's got this thing now, it's not going to happen. She's kind of, which is September's the peak time in the UK to start school. So she wants to get geared up for them. So we're all prepared and we're safe as a family. Now, this organisation, they're just holding their, they're just awful. They don't reply to emails. Their emails are very kind of, hard to unpick. They give you a load of fucking information that you have to try and read through systematically in a slow process to try and decipher what they mean and how they want to do it. And it's a load of jumble and jargon if you ask me. But anyway, I was listening to her and she was like, right, that's it, it's not going to happen. She was talking to my daughter and she, you know, she worries anyway, and she was like, it's not going to happen in September, and almost being negative. And I said, stop. I said, we don't need two negative thinkers in this house. There's one with me, that's bad enough. I said, let's take each day as it comes. Let's look at it that you've already been doing childminding for the best part of, 14 years, 15 years you've been a childminder. I said, you're fucking excellent at what you've done. You've never had a bad report against you. You've got an outstanding reputation within the community. So you're moving from a house to a professional establishment. So if anything, everything is just plus, plus, plus. So let's be optimistic about this. Let's turn that negative into a positive and go, let's just take each day as it comes. And if we need to push it and force it a little bit in the coming months, we will. We'll make those calls. We'll send those emails. But for now, let's just work on each day as it comes. I keep reverting back to, if you can't see all the steps up the stairs in front of you, but you can see the one in front of you, take that one step. And wait until you can start seeing the steps slowly revealed through the fog. That's the easiest way to deal with it. It's such a good analogy for life, I think. And, you know, if you constantly stay negative, all it's going to do is just, again, you're going to get in that infinite loop of sadness because everything in your world is negative. Excuse me, will I take a little sip of Rooney of water? A good thing here, I wrote this down actually, and this was targeted at my friend because we were talking about this earlier on. My friend is an absolute optimist, and I said practice optimism. I don't do it. I don't do it enough. I'm not going to deny that. I'm a very, very big realist. I'm not a pessimist, and obviously you've got your optimist. An optimist, obviously, to me, I say an optimist is somebody who looks through life through rose-tinted glasses, always tries to see the best in everything. I think because of my past, I become more of a realist and a protection factor. I would absolutely fucking adore, love to be a to be an optimist. I really would, because for me it's the best thing to look through in life, because everything's great, isn't it? Even if it isn't, don't worry, it will be all right. They can't, they can't shoot me, they can't make me pregnant. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm a man. Although be careful, because somebody might think that you can. And an optimist is almost always more excited about everything, and not even just life, but everything. And Kieran is one of those people. He's an absolute optimist, and he does get excited about life. And even when he's in a fucking shit place, he'll still find the laughs in it. Like I said, we had this incident when he came around for my party the other week, and it was a bit of a shit sandwich he was dealt with, really. But he still smiled about it, and we still laugh and joke about it. It's just a diff, it has to be. It's one of those traits for me that have to be learned, though. You have to learn optimism. So this is why I put down practice optimism, because it was a kind of a reference to myself, really. And it has to be learned. You have to, there's this old analogy. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? Now, Kieran will always say it's half full. I will always say, well, it's fucking half empty and he's topping up again. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm a realist. No, it's half full, mate. I've got plenty left, And I think that that's an old analogy that we don't really use anymore. Probably not. If I said it to my fucking young daughter, she probably wouldn't have a clue what I was on about. But it's almost always knowing how you can fill that jar back up again. So, if you're an optimist, you'll fill that jar up with anything just to make it full. You don't really care. You're just happy to be here. If you're a realist, you're like, well, what was in there? It's fucking milk. Well, you're not going to fill it up with anything else than fucking milk. I mean, it's going to taste shit otherwise. Whereas someone like Kieran would say, well, I don't know, fill it up with water and put a bit of fucking strawberry milkshake fucking powder in it. Do you know what I mean? To get the flavor in so you don't really notice it. That's kind of where it is. It's almost like we look at everything slightly differently, which is an interesting dynamic between two friends. But it is, you've got to try, kind of sort of teach yourself really to see the other side. All the little frustrations and disappointments and letdowns that we all experience on a daily basis, we need to look for ways to try and see the best in why that happened. Maybe it happened because of you. Maybe it happened because of a situation. Did that situation affect your future, or is it just because, you would, I don't know, you might have had a shit day because you were sent to a fucking course you didn't want to go on? Well, what did you get out of it? Well, actually, I got a little bit out of it. I just didn't want to fucking travel and do it. Okay, well, so the negative in you was the fact you're a lazy bastard, and but if you put a slight positive spin on it, you learned something. So let's look at it optimistically and go, well, actually, it was a little bit of a difficult travel, but I met some new people, I got fed, I got watered, and I had a good fucking day. I had a not bad day. Better than sitting at home dwelling and fucking doing absolutely jack shit. Or, Christ, you could have been a fucking sewer cleaner, and you could be down in the fucking depths of the sewers in London cleaning out shit all day. Gets well paid, don't mind you, but not the type of thing I want to do. Another one I put down here, which is what I'm trying to do, and that is stop caring what other people think. And I am an absolute nightmare for this. I always worry, right down even to my fucking friends. I worry about what they think of me. And I'm like, am I too much? God, I look fucking horrendous. This clothes looks fucking shit. I mean, if you speak to if you ever get to talk to Kieran, maybe we'll have a chat. But there's a couple of occasions when I've been out and I've literally gone, I don't feel fucking great. I don't feel like I think everyone's judging me. And I've gone home, whether that's been a taxi ride home or it's been a fucking run, or even like we were in Cardiff the other week, and I didn't feel, everyone was in floral shirts and I was in a nice jumper. That was actually a nice jumper. Everyone fucking berated me for chucking it in the bin because I was like, I'm not carrying it around all night. And it was a nice jumper, but I didn't feel like I fitted in. So I went and bought a fucking Hawaiian shirt. Transpired, it turned out fucking lovely and it was an amazing shirt. But I didn't feel happy. And Kieran was like, you don't feel happy, mate. You're not going to be happy in this pub until you go and find something. And he fucking supported me, followed me, walking through, traipsing through Cardiff, trying to fit a shirt. I'm sweating my ass off. And he stood there by my side and went, nah, that's the one, mate. Look fucking good. Chucked it in the bin, went out and had an absolutely blinding night. Would I have had a blinding night if I didn't do that? No, I wouldn't have done, because it would have dwelled on me all night, because I would have been worried about what people thought of me, and I just wouldn't have been relaxed. So I put this in there again for me, really, but it's one of those things that I think it's relevant for everybody. We all need to get to a point where we need to stop caring, because the amount of time you can walk through the centre of fucking London, you can have your mobile phone in front of you, dressed like a fucking clown, and nobody will look at you. Everyone will just think in their heads, what that fucking loony doing? I've done it before, in fact. There was a guy that was walking around. He was going around Salisbury, the local city, and he was called the Big Gay DJ. And everything on him was fucking gold. He was a big chap. I mean, we're talking, he must have been at least 20 stone. So he was a big fucking lad on this fucking trike. It was sprayed gold, big fucking boombox off the back, in a absolutely skin-tight gold lycra fucking onesie. And was shouting around with these gold glasses, happy as fucking Larry. And I just looked at him and went, fucking hell, mate. Wow. What are you doing? But then I carried on. And here I am now talking about it with a smile on my face because I'm thinking, you crazy bastard. But realistically, I may have batted an eyelid for a second and, you know, glanced at my wife and said, what the fuck's this Looney Tune doing? But in actual fact, it didn't bother me. It did not bother me one bit. So you need to adopt that ethos with yourself and just chin those fucking people off. And, you know, one of the major reasons really why we don't sort of follow through with our desires in life is the fact that we care too much about what people think. And, you know, as a result, we then get discouraged and we don't pursue things that might actually fulfill us and give us joy because we're worried about what people think. We should almost just sort of kind of stop and focus on finding the courage to put that to bed. I mean, I was in a situation at the moment where I want to go for this promotion, but part of me in the back of my head was worried about, oh, I don't really want to upset people, and there's another person going for it, and I don't want to fucking put him out. In actual fact, why? It's open and fair competition. If I get the job, it's because I'm a better person. But I was worried about what he would think of me. I don't fucking know him. I don't socialise with him. I just work alongside him. If he becomes difficult, then there's HR fucking route for that sort of shit, isn't there? But chuck your two cents in, James, and have a go. But I've always worried about, and I've done it so many times through promotion, and especially in work, I genuinely worry what people think about me. And now I'm at the point where, you've worked hard, mate. You're good at your fucking job. Give it a go. Instead of sitting there and watching everyone else get the fucking cake, take your slice, mate, and enjoy it. And I'm learning to do that. And that's coming with age. I'm not going to lie to you. It does come with age. It's easy with age anyway. But there is a lot of people that can do it when they're younger. I mean, my youngest daughter, she's 11. She genuinely does not give a fuck what people think about her. She's literally like, you could say something to her and she's like, yeah, I don't really care, mate. She's so fucking laid back. She's so chilled out, but really intelligent at the same time. So she's blonde with blue eyes. So she is fucking literally a bombshell waiting to happen. And kind of like, it's just an interesting thought, isn't it? But anyway, I won't digress into that as well. One of the big things as well, which is kind of falls into a little bit of anxiety aspect, is do not let fear control you. I don't let fear control me because I have ADHD. So I tend to chuck myself into things without much thought. There isn't much, like I say, there isn't much I haven't done, tried, you know, wakeboarding, skydiving, fucking climbing mountains. I've done fucking caving, motorbikes, ridden them fucking like, you know, 200 mile an hour. I fast cars. I don't get fear from that side of things. Even with age, I haven't got fear. I'm willing to fucking give anything a go, provided my body will allow me. Excuse me. But often we forget that life can be unpredictable, and we can embrace sort of kind of our fears and let them hold us back. And that is really, that's such a bad thing to do. If you fear the unknown, then you will never, ever push yourself that to that point. You'll never get to that point. You'll sit in stalemate. And you often look back in, and you will look back on your life and go, did I live my best life? And that phrase has just come back up again. Did I live my best life? And no, I didn't, because I was negative. I feared the unknown. I mean, we've all got to have a respect. Christ, I've got a respect for heights. I've got a respect for planes. I've got a respect for motorbikes, cars, and fast things. You know, absolutely. But at the same time, I'm not interested in, you know, I'm not interested in the sort of kind of the minor details. I mean, what I'm interested in now is, I fear those things, but at the same time, it's a respectable fear. Because if you haven't got a respectable fear for, you know, for heights and, you know, mountains and fucking swimming in the sea, I mean, Christ, anybody that wants, I mean, I absolutely love the sea, but you stick me in the sea and I can't see the bottom, fucking, I'm Billy Big Steps out, mate. You can, I literally all of a sudden become Jesus. I step on the water and I fucking run out, mate, because that's me. But then on the flip side, I'm an absolute water baby who, you know, I absolutely love wakeboarding. I love fucking wake surfing. I love surfing. I love kiteboarding. All of these things I absolutely love. But it's interesting, when you stick me out surfing, if I'm on a board, I'm not too bothered. But if I'm on a paddleboard, and I did this the other week, or the other month, I went paddleboarding, I fucking fell into the sea, and I fucking shit myself. I scrambled so hard to get up out the pissing water, to get onto my paddleboard and sit there. My heart was pounding. I genuinely thought Jaws was coming up to get me. Absolutely not, mate, James. Sort your fucking life out. But it's interesting how that's a respect. I call that respect. But what I don't do is I don't fear the unknown. I'm not scared. If someone said to me, James, you know, do you want to do a skydive? My mum did it actually about four years ago now. She said, I'm going to pay for you to do a skydive. It's on your bucket list. And I know bucket list is kind of a negative type of thing, but in actual fact, it's not. It's kind of a positive thing, really, because, you know, it just is. But I use it not a bucket list in the sense I'm dying, but in a bucket list in the sense that these are things I want to achieve. And I think that this is a really good way of looking at life, and it gives me small goals. So I go, I haven't done that, or I haven't done that, and I want to do that. So I'll go somewhere and I'll try and challenge myself to do it. Or little silly little things, you know, like I'd love to have sex under a waterfall. Is it going to happen? Probably fucking not. But, you know, I'll stick it on their old bucket list. Maybe I'll be on my dying deathbed and someone will fucking, you know, someone will give me my dying wish. You never know. But I don't really fear the unknown. I will try things. And I think that that's what's kept me afloat over this last 10 years, is I've always tried to do things and I've always forced myself to do things. I think if you sit there and wait for something to happen, you're going to die a very lonely person. You're going to get to the point where you realize you should have taken that leap. And I'm not talking about jumping off a fucking bridge, but if you're going to jump off a bridge, at least do it with a bungee rope so that you can bounce back up and have a bit of fun with it. Don't do it in a foreign country though, because their fucking safety rules aren't as good. But yeah, it's, oh, sorry, I just got a message. I was just putting it out there. But yeah, it's interesting. And that's where I think that one of the biggest the holdbacks for anyone with a mental health or a sadness, they can get consumed by the fear of the unknown. And if you get invited to somewhere or someone wants you to go and do something, just give it a fucking go, mate. Just get stuck in and give it a try. If you don't like it, then at least you say you've tried and you go, I've given that a go. I didn't like that. You know what I mean? Don't tell my wife that, because I was just going to say something to her. I keep saying to her, try anal, you might like it. She fucking won't. But do you see what I'm saying? But in terms of like life, if someone invites you to do something that's out the norm, clay pigeon shooting, or I don't know, fucking do anything, wakeboarding, kayaking, something that you've never tried before, or even something you may have tried before, give it a go with that other person. You might actually be a surprise. You might actually get to the point where you're like, fucking hell, I didn't enjoy it before because I did it on my own, but I've done it with fucking Dave here, and he's an absolute fucking howl and laugh, and I've really enjoyed my day. When are we going again? And then don't put it to bed and sit on it for another 5 years. Make the conscious effort to get your, break your own barrier and enjoy it. And then what you're doing is you're putting a positive spin on life. It's giving you focus. It's giving you a new hobby. It's giving you someone else to go and enjoy life with. And you'll make a connection. So there's so many positives that can come out of taking that leap of faith. And that sort of leads me on to my last one, really, before I close up. And that is something I put here, say yes more regularly. Now, one of the biggest things for someone with mental health is they sit there and say, no, no, no. And then they wonder why they're in this loop of depression. They wonder why they feel sad because they've said no. You've got to start saying yes. Don't say yes for stupid fucking things. Don't say yes to give yourself more work. I'm talking about life in general, you know. And just say no, really, when you need to say no. Understand sort of kind of when it feels right to say yes. If something you know deep down in your gut you should say yes to, then do it. And when something feels wrong, then just happily say no. It's not a problem, but don't say no for the sake of saying no. Try and say yes more. And it will give you that power to say yes more and more. There's an interesting film, and you may have already seen it, the one with Jim Carrey, Yes Man. And he says yes, and it does lead him to a lot more fucking fun things. And do you know what? I watched that film when it came out so many years ago. I watched it again about 2 or 3 months ago, and I actually saw it from a completely different perspective. Whereas before I saw it as Yes Man from a, oh, fucking hell, yeah, brilliant, look at all the shit he's doing, rah, rah, rah. I looked at it from a mental health perspective a couple of months ago and went, every time he says yes, it's taking him to a new opportunity. And often we get stuck in our ruts of life because we say no. And you don't realize when you say yes to an event or you say yes, you might meet someone that will open up a new opportunity for you. He swings the door open and you might be guided through to something else. You might, and this has happened with me. Like, say, I walked into an office with a friend of mine, Billy, and I was just having a general conversation about mental health. And he said to me, do you want to go clay pigeon shooting? And I said, yeah, let's do it. And I was a bit reluctant. The anxiety did take over, but I fought it and fought it and fought it. I turned up 2 hours late, but I was there, had a fucking amazing time shooting, even though it was raining, fucking went back to his house and we got absolutely smashed and had a really good fucking evening. Just loads of banter was flowing. And that has opened up now a new friendship, which he's in a different country now. And I'm looking forward to hopefully going to see him. But often you say yes to people and they'll open up a new door. That everybody has their own little opportunity. You might be led into something that you sort of kind of didn't even realize or didn't even acknowledge was going to be there until you said yes. So I want to leave that really with a closing thought there, just to say, make sure that you start when you wake up tomorrow, just think about the things I've said tonight and look inwardly to yourself and try and give yourself that little spur, that little boost to make the change. And if you get offered to go out somewhere with somebody and or try something new, whether it's a concert, whether it's done to the pub, whatever it may be, whether it's to an event, whether it's to a festival, or do you know, I mean, whatever it can be, whether it's a day fishing, whatever, just say yes and give it a go. You know for a fact, and I know for a fact, when I said yes, I do. You battle. If you're in a mental health whirlwind like I've been in for 10 fucking years, you sit there and you say yes, and then the oftentimes I've cancelled last minute, and it doesn't bring anything but negative thoughts, and it just lets everybody down. When in actual fact, when I've said yes and gone through with it, every single time I've had a good time. And that's not even a fucking joke. Every time I've had a good time. It was only a few years ago where I said my mate was wanting to see Tenacious D, and we were talking about it. We both followed Tenacious D for years, and I saw these tickets, and I said to him, right, it's £70. I've bought the two tickets. Can you afford it? If not, I'll pay for it. Doesn't really matter. But I said, can you afford it? We're going to go and see Tenacious D live in concert in London. And he said yes, which was good news. We went there and we drove. We had a fucking fantastic day. We went to the cinema. We went to a fucking concert and we drove home. And I've had the best experience, to the point where it followed it up with a gift of that, the album from that concert given to me as a birthday gift. And I've still got that. So it led on to a gift, which made me even happier. And we've got an amazing memory between the two of us of seeing something that we've, you know, ultimately followed this band since we were young. So there might be that time when you say no and someone says to you, yeah, and you may have said no so many times. You may have even said no so many times that people have stopped inviting you. Well, if that's the case, then break the mold. Contact those people and say, you know, is there anything going on this weekend, or is there anything going on soon? I'd love to come along and join you. But making sure you stick with it, making sure you follow through with it, because if you don't, you're not going to progress. And like I said, the progression to mental health, the progression to sadness, is all about looking inwardly and finding ways to progress forward and develop ourselves. So there we go. Just want to say thank you to Eric, Destiny's Daughters, and Woody. Welcome back, mate. Thank you for listening in. I really appreciate you supporting me. And yeah, I look forward to talking to you again soon. I think I've got another live podcast coming on tomorrow. I'm going to try and get my friend on, because he's a fucking howling laugh. So yeah, something to look forward to tomorrow.